Welcome everyone to the 2026 Yukon River In-Season Salmon Management Teleconference season. We greatly appreciate you taking the time to join us as we begin another important season of discussions surrounding the management and future of Yukon River salmon. My name is Mike McIntyre, Communications Manager of the Yukon River Drainage Fisheries Association, and it is my pleasure to serve you as host throughout this teleconference season. These calls will be held every Tuesday from June through the end of August. Throughout the season, we will provide updates on Yukon River salmon run assessments, environmental conditions, research and monitoring efforts, and ongoing management activities. I would like to extend a warm welcome to all the new participants joining us today. We will also encourage young fishers to participate in these calls to learn, engage, and become involved in the Yukon River fisheries issues and management. These teleconferences provide an important opportunity for people from across the Yukon River to share observations, concerns, and local conditions. We encourage fishermen, tribal representatives, researchers, managers, and community members to actively participate. Your knowledge and experience help build a broader understanding of the challenges facing our salmon and river communities. We would also like to thank our funding partners, the Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission and Tanana Chiefs Conference, for their continued support in making these calls possible. For many years, these teleconferences have served as a communication bridge between local users and fishery managers across 2,200 miles of the Yukon River. As salmon declines and changing river conditions continue to affect our communities, the need for open communication remains critical. However, the challenges we face today require more than information sharing alone. They require collaboration, problem solving, and action. Our goal is to ensure these calls remain a platform for meaningful discussion, actionable feedback, and collaborative solutions that can be shared with management agencies, organizations, and decision makers. By working together, we can identify practical opportunities to improve fisheries management and support the long-term health of the Yukon River salmon. As we move through the 2026 season, I ask all participants to be respectful of one another. This is a space for constructive dialogue and shared learning. By listening to and supporting one another, we can foster productive conversations that benefit our fisheries and communities. Koyama, for your time, participation, and commitment to the Yukon River. The Yerdpa In-Season Subsistence Salmon Survey is currently getting started. We thank the National Park Service and NOAA for funding the program this year. This year, the surveyors are utilizing a digital app version of the program and hope to make it available to the public soon. We will update you when it is ready to download from the App Store. We want to encourage fishers in the in-season survey communities to reach out to their local surveyor and share what they are seeing on the river. This program is a way for fishers to anonymously share their observations as well as their concerns and or challenges with the managers and the rest of the river. The in-season survey communities include Alavanak, Mountain Village, Marshall, Russian Mission, Anvik, Hoosea, Ruby, Tanana, Fort Yukon, and Eagle. Please press star 6 to mute and unmute your line. If you're using the mute feature on your mobile device, you will still need to press star 6 to mute and unmute. Background noise and conversations are disruptive to callers who are sharing important information. I'd like to remind everyone that next week is the last teleconference of the season. It's going to be on the 25th. Let's get started. Will any media online please announce yourselves? Do we have any of our government representatives or staff members on the call today? Yukon Area Managers of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, please introduce yourselves and give your reports.
Hey, good afternoon. It's Bonnie Borba.
Hey, Bonnie.
I'm the Yukon River Falls Season Research Biologist for Alaska Tarpon Fish and Game. I'm back up here in Fairbanks, and I will be providing this initial fall season assessment. The in-season projections of fall chum salmon suggest the run size is closer to the upper end of the drainage-wide escapement goal of 300 to 600,000 fish. The fall chum salmon component of the run is approaching 400,000 fish, and the run based on median timing is nearly 60% completed. At this time, with the run front-loaded by the large pulse of over 260,000 that passed in 4 days, it is difficult to tell the timing. The weather pattern for the last week has been fairly calm, with few chum and coho salmon on the move in the lower Yukon. Additional pulses are still expected to enter the river, and the strength of the next pulse will help refine the projections. As of August 18th, the cumulative CPUE for lower Yukon testfish is slightly below average. The three-quarter point, based on median run timing, occurs on August 18th, which is today, for the fall season chum salmon. Coho salmon at this project are extremely weak compared to average, and the first quarter point for them is August 16th, which is also gone by. The age composition of 402 chum salmon sampled from the drift gill nest in the Lower Yukon Test Fish Project from July 18th through August 15th consisted of 92% age 4 and 8% age 5 fish. The age 4 fish are well above the 2001 to 2025 historical average of 64% age 4. The percentage of female chum salmon has remained low at 41%, which is below the historical average of 55%. The fall season chum salmon average length through August 15th was 568 millimeters, which is below the historical average of 583 millimeters. The main stem Yukon River sonar project near Pilot Station transitioned to fall counts on July 19th. As of August 17th, the cumulative passage of chum salmon in the fall season at the main stem sonar is approximately 450,000 fish. This compares to a median cumulative passage of 411 fall chum salmon or fall season chum salmon for the state. So far this fall season, two pulses of chum salmon have passed the main stem sonar. Genetic mixed stock analysis on the chum salmon from the largest pulse that passed the main stem sonar from August 3rd through the 10th indicated 5% were summer chum, 95% were fall chum. Of the fall chum salmon stocks, they consisted of 55% border U.S., 36% Tanana Falls, and 9% Canada. The fall chum salmon border U.S. and Tanana Fall components are above average, while the Canada is below average for this time period. Average proportions from historical data set of the genetics are applied to the chum salmon passage to estimate for each day of sonar passage until the next samples are analyzed. Currently, the estimate is at 368,000 fall chum salmon, which is below the average of 448,000 fish for this date. The midpoint, based on median run timing, occurs on August 14th for fall chum salmon, and the last three-quarter point occurs on August 22nd. So we hope this next pulse arrives soon. We'll be using both Alaska and Canadian assessment projects to monitor escapement, particularly relative to the Canadian treaty objectives for Fishing Branch and the Yukon River main stem at Eagle, as well as Alaska goals on the Yukon in the Tchingjik and the Delta River in the Tanana. Escapement monitoring projects in the upper Yukon portion of the drainage have begun at the Tchingjik and Tchingjik Rivers. The Tchingjik started on August 6th, and as of the 17th, a cumulative passage of 481 fall chum salmon, which is below the average of 1,200 fish for the state. And the Tchingjik sonar started on August 14th, and as of August 16th, the cumulative is also 481 fall chum salmon, and the daily passages are well below average as well. The first smaller pulse that came in the lower river should be arriving there this coming week. So we'll be watching for them to start ramping up at those two projects. At the Eagle Sonar Project, the average transition date from Chinook to fall chum salmon monitoring is around August 20th on average. The Chinook salmon run is tapering off. However, no chum salmon have been captured yet. Coho salmon typically enter the Yukon River in mid-August, with the bulk of the run occurring by the end of August. As of August 17th, an estimated 14,500 coho salmon have passed the main stem Yukon River sonar. This compares to a median cumulative passage of 51,000 coho salmon for this date. Currently, all the projects in the lower river indicate the early portion of the coho salmon run is weak, and the run is later than last season and later than average. We expect numbers of coho salmon to increase with the next pulse of salmon that enters the river. Water temperatures in the Yukon River at Amonok and Eagle have been below average for most of the season. However, the warm weather from the interior of Alaska all the way to the mouth this past week has increased the water temperatures to 16.9 to 18 degrees. Some high water came down the Yukon River from Canada early in the season, but most areas are averaged below average levels at this time. That's all I have. I'll be available for questions later, and Matt's going to cover the management strategies for the fall season.
Yeah, thanks, Bunny. Can you hear me, Mike?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right. Yeah, thanks. Yep. Yeah, again, this is Matt Olson with the Alaskan Department of Fish and Game, the Yukon River Fall Season Manager. So as Bonnie was mentioning, the fall trim salmon run is coming in much better than it has in recent years. And that's really good to see, that we're running above at least the bottom end of the drainage wide escapement goal now. And, we still got, a good portion of the run, hopefully to go. We'll see what the next pulses bring. So being above the escapement goal and not having any more conservation concerns in areas kind of off the main stem Yukon, we're starting to talk about having, or relaxing restrictions in areas where those Canadian fall chum aren't going to be swimming. As of 8 a.m. today, the Kaikuk River drainage and the Anoka River drainage are now open 24/7 for retention of all species with all legal gear types. Again, both summer chum and the fall chum are above their drainage-wide escapement goals. It's largely summer chum in those areas anyway, as fall chum, are likely headed farther upriver than that. And the king salmon that were there earlier in the season are now no longer present. Our conservation concerns in those areas are past. We're continuing to follow the run as it goes upriver, and seeing, to what level, each of those foxes coming in. So we're really paying attention to those genetics as they're coming in from pilot station and looking to see what kind of opportunities we can have in other areas off the main stem Yukon as well, to be able to kind of relax restrictions in those areas when we don't have conservation concerns anymore for those stocks. So we'll keep an eye on that. And as we get some more information, hopefully we'll be able to provide some more opportunity potentially in the Tigrinjik and in the Tanana River maybe other tributaries as well. The coho run right now, again, is running behind by quite a bit. Hopefully they'll show up in this next pulse, and it'll kind of alleviate, any concerns that we have on that front. But as for now, we got our eye on it, and we'll see if we have to adjust any management strategies based on either hopefully abundance of coho, but if there's not, as many coho salmon as what we think there could be based on, last year's survival and projecting it for this year, we might have to do other things as well in order to protect them if we get to that point. So, but anything in the main stem, the schedule in the main stem Yukon is going to remain the same for now. So 4-inch gill nets, can be in the main stem to harvest, in order to target non-salmon, noon Thursdays to noon Sundays, and that 6-inch opportunity off the main stem in those areas that we know that that false chum salmon aren't migrating through or 24/7, as well as any selected gears. So manfish wheels, dip nets, beach seines, fight nets, that sort of thing, are all open 24/7 for non-salmon harvest in the main stem. That's about all I got right now. But like I said, we're going to keep our eye on the run as it comes in. Hopefully there's another good push of fish out there for sure. And hopefully some of those stocks that we can identify, you know, early that, you know, we'd be meeting escapement goals there. We could use that to open us an opportunity in the future. So that's about all I got, and I'll be around for questions.
Thank you, Bonnie and Matt. The Yukon area managers from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, please introduce yourselves.
Hi, good afternoon, Mike. Can you hear me? This is Keith.
Hey, Keith, I can hear you.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Keith Heron. I'm the Assistant Fishery Manager for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on the Yukon. Thank you, Matt and Bonnie, for their great updates. For the federal management side, I would just like to add, when we do start or when we do start to open up some of these areas where we no longer have conservation concerns in Alaska tributaries, and we're hopeful that begins soon. I'm hoping for some more chum in the coming days. We are going to limit the fishing in federal public waters to federally qualified subsistence users, and that's important because we've had season-long closures and severe restrictions in place. So having that priority on for the federal users is important, and we'll do that this year. So please do expect that in the upcoming actions. But that's all I had to add from the federal management side. I look forward to everyone's reports.
Thank you, Keith. Is there a staff from the Department of Fisheries and Oceans Canada? Please introduce yourselves.
Good afternoon, Mike. This is Jacqueline Kendall with the Department of Fisheries and Oceans. Am I coming through okay?
Yeah, I could hear you, Jacqueline.
Oh, great. Perfect. Adam and myself are both on, but I'll start us off here quickly with just a very brief management update, and then Adam can take us into some of the great stock assessment work that's occurring in Canada, as well as a bit of an environmental update. So similar to the previous weeks where I've provided a management update, there are no new management actions to report that differ from those indicated preseason or on these calls. So for Chinook, although we are seeing more Chinook into Canada than expected preseason, we will still not meet that border passage objective of 71,000. So the public angling, which is the recreational fishery in Canada, was closed and will remain closed. And the commercial and domestic, which is the non-Indigenous food fishery, are also closed. And there are no opportunities in the First Nation subsistence fishery either. And a similar with the chum, although they haven't entered Canada yet, we're still very much in Chinook season. We are not anticipating Canadian spawning objective goals to be met, and the preseason management actions will remain in place, which, again, similar to Chinook, are the closure of the public angling fishery, as well as commercial and domestic, and there are no opportunities anticipated in the First Nation subsistence fishery. So that's just a brief management update or recap of where we're at, and I will stay on the line, of course, but also hand it off right now just to Adam to complete our Canadian update. If you're on the line, Adam, I think. Just give us one second here.
I'm here now. Yeah, sorry. I thought I was already unmuted. Yeah, my name's Adam O'Dell, the senior stock assessment biologist for Fisheries and Oceans Canada in Whitehorse, and I can provide an update on the assessment progress to date, as well as a very brief update on environmental conditions. So our crews, our Fisheries and Oceans Canada crews, are currently continuing to running the Porcupine Sonar Project just downstream of Old Crow, Yukon, on the Porcupine River, which is a collaborative project with Wet'suwet'en First Nation. So far, we've had just over 1,000 Chinook estimated to have passed the site as of yesterday, the 17th. This compared with about 340 on this date last year, and the project average of about 2,400. So our Chinook program is winding down, and we're actually expecting to earmark the crossover to Chum tomorrow or potentially the next day. It looks like there's some possible increases in Chum movement past the sonar site, particularly relative to what we're seeing for Chinook. So we should be providing updates on Chum passage at next week's meeting. So we continue to have a crew on site in Eagle, which is supporting the delivery of the Eagle Sonar Project in Alaska. So this camp, for folks who are unfamiliar, is located about 30 kilometers or 20 miles downstream of the U.S.-Canada border. And it's a critical program every year for estimating passage of salmon into Canada. So I have additional updates I can provide on some Yukon First Nation-led projects. But prior to me proceeding with those, I'm just going to pause for a moment in case there's any of the Yukon First Nation managers online who might want to speak to those themselves. But I'll just pause for a moment and allow anyone the opportunity to speak up. Otherwise, I'll continue on. Okay, I'll provide my update here. So starting off, the Klondike River Sonar, so this is run by Tronikwitchin First Nation in Dawson City, Yukon. Now, I haven't received an update in a couple of weeks, but they've seen an estimated about 350 Chinook as of August 1st. So at that time, they were a little over twice the number that they saw compared to last year on that date, but then compared to the project average of about 900. Was still less than that project average, which dates back sporadically, but till about 2009. The Stewart River Sonar, this is run by the First Nation of Anishinaabe Dunn. It's in its first year of operation this year, so there's no historical data to go off of, but their estimated passage of Chinook to date is just under 1,800, as of the 17th, sorry. The Pelly River Sonar, this is run by Selkirk First Nation near Pelly Crossing, Yukon. They've seen an estimated 4,500 Chinook as of August 17th. So this is compared to about 3,700 on this date last year and the project average of about 4,200. The Nisutland Sonar, this is run by Tesman Tlingit Council. Again, haven't seen an update in a couple of weeks, but the last update as of August 2nd, there were 230 Chinook to pass the sonar site, which was still pretty early in their season at that point, compared to 72, which they had as of August 2nd of last year. The Tashini River Sonar, this is up and running for a week or 10 days now, or a couple weeks maybe. It's run by Kwanlin Dunn First Nation. They've had about 450 Chinook pass the sonar site as of August 17th, compared to about 330 on this date last year, and the project average of around 400. So we're starting to get into the headwaters here with the Nisutland and Tikini River sonar projects. Lastly, there's the Whitehorse Fishway. So this is just the fish ladder in town here in Whitehorse that allows fish passage past the hydroelectric dam in town. They've seen about 380 Chinook as of the 16th, and this is compared with 325 on this date last year, and the project average of 570. So Bonnie provided a pretty good summary there on fall chum. We are starting to see some of the porcupine. I believe Eagle will be transitioning over to chum salmon here soon. So we will be reporting on more chum salmon in Canada at next meeting and very shortly. But given the in-season updated projection based on the summer to fall chum relationship, we also expect to see an an update or an increase over what the preseason forecast was in Canada. The updated projection is for about 47,000 to the mainstem Canadian Yukon River chum stock grouping and about 19,000 to the fishing branch river stock. So that wraps up my assessment update. I just got a couple sentences here for environmental conditions update. So everything's pretty uniform. Water levels remain around typical levels throughout much of the territory right now, with a few exceptions on some of the smaller tributaries and a couple of drainages scattered throughout the territory. Nothing overly dramatic or extreme conditions in terms of water levels. Water temperatures, which are reported at some of the assessment sites, they continue to fall within tolerable ranges for salmon. I saw the Pelly Sonar Project was reporting some temperatures up around 17 degrees last week, and that's pretty well the high end of what we've been experiencing this year. So it's fairly favorable, at least in the Canadian portion of the drainage, in terms of water temperatures and in relation to salmon and what their optimal ranges are. So we've seen above average air temperatures the past couple of weeks, and still really no influence on the water temperatures. But the forecast starting later this week are for a bit of a cooler system to move through and cooler temperatures and maybe a bit more cloud and precipitation accompanying it. So that completes my assessment and environmental condition update. So I'll remain online for any questions that might pop up. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff and Adam. Is there anybody from the Yukon River Intertribal Fishing Commission that would like to give a report? Please press star 6 to mute and unmute your line.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Jasmine.
Hi, this is Jasmine Bent, Communications Director for the Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission. I don't think our Executive Director is going to be able to call today. He's not at work today, so I just wanted to remind everyone that we still have our call out for artists, and that's for the Yukon River Community Art Initiative. We're inviting tribal artists to submit artwork that reflects the cultural significance of fishing, stewardship of salmon and fisheries, and the strength and resilience of our tribal communities. So we're inviting tribal artists from the Yukon River watershed and First Nations. The deadline to submit art is September 15th. You can find more information on our website at yritfc.org. And a part of this initiative is we'll have the Executive Council choose 3 designs, and the artist honorariums have been increased to $500 per prize. So we're looking to get more art for our merchandise and our swag at the Fish Commission. So if anyone knows any artists that might want to submit their artwork, you can find more information on our website. But that's all I have today. I did check with our Executive Director on if he had a report pre-prepared or not, but I'm sure he'll have more to say next week. Thank you.
Thank you, Jasmine. Is there anybody from the BBAYK that would like to give a report? Is there anybody from the Yukon River Tribal Watershed Council that would like to give a report? Is there anybody from the Council of Yukon First Nations? Anybody from the Yukon Salmon Subcommittee? There's nobody. Is there anybody from the Council of Yukon First Nations? See some people popping on there.
Hey, sorry, I accidentally hung up and had to get back on. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you, Elizabeth.
Oh, perfect. Thanks. Yeah, it's Elizabeth McDonald with the Yukon First Nation Sentence Stewardship Alliance at the Council of Yukon First Nation. We're definitely in the middle of the Chinook Run, as Adam shared earlier, and Jacqueline. So First Nations are out busy with their sonars, their video wearers, and aerial surveys. There's also been some juvenile work done in Beaver Dam-related field work, and soon we're going to see people kind of shifting more to carcass surveys, as well as going out and collecting the radio take data and removal of those towers for the season. I know that Natronaik Dun First Nation is going to be out soon doing some invertebrate or cabin samples below the Victoria Gold disaster there. They've also been working with Yukon Government Fisheries and Oceans, Trandegwichen, and others, as well as a fish sampling plan and monitoring of that, and working with on-site conditions and everything still too. And then everyone seems to be really, really happy to see the improvement in chum salmon numbers this year, but it's still a long way away from us, so we're still just kind of caught up in Chinook season. This last weekend was Discovery Days, a long weekend, and it's often the last weekend of summer, as we call it. Sometimes we get lucky and get a little bit more, and next week school starts. So people are going to be start switching to those more fall activities and getting out and picking blueberries, and raspberries are pretty in season right now as well. And I can't stay on for the full call, but I'm definitely going to hang on for a bit longer and, yeah, hopefully hear from others as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. So with that, I'll move on to the community level report. I'm calling by district from the headquarters of Canada to the host. Is there anybody from Old Crow, Dawson, Whitehorse, Mayo, Pelly Crossing, Carmax, or Teslin on the line that would like to give a report? I'll move on to District Y6, A, B, and C, the communities of Manly Hot Springs, Minto, Nanana, and Fairbanks. I would like to give a report. All right, I'll move on to District Y5, C, and D, communities of Stevens Village, Beaver, Birch Creek, Fort Yukon, Chasik-Yitzik, Vinatai, Arctic Village, Circle, or Eagle. I would like to give a report.
Hi, this is Carlissa Tremblay here in Fort Yukon.
Hey, Carlissa.
Hi, my report is I spoke with 4 households. 2 were fishing, and they said it was the same as last week. Low water, even having hot, sunny days and with a little bit of overcast. Not much people fishing, really. They're getting ready for moose hunting and back to school. That's my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Carolissa. Is there anybody else from District Y5, C, and D? I will move on to, I'd like to remind everyone, if you're muted, please press star 6 to mute and unmute your line. I will move on to District Y5, A, and B, communities of Tanana, Tanana Rapids, Rampart, and Yukon River Bridge. I would like to give a report. And I'd like to remind everyone to press star 6 to mute and unmute your line.
Well, this is Stan Zeray. Are you able to hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Stan.
Okay. All right. This is the 10 Rampart Rapids area. So very little going on, nothing going on really. I wasn't, as of like a couple of days ago, there was nobody in a camp or, and of course, no fishnets or any kind of fishing going on at all, from, Tanana all the way to below Rampart. I don't know what's going on in Rampart, but, yeah, nothing much going on. A lot of rain and, oh boy, let's see. Yeah, don't expect, the camps are all closed. Once in a while, somebody will go to a camp, check it out for bears or something like that. Yeah, it's pretty much, nothing going on, nothing to report. Last time I checked, the surface temperature was about 62 point something degrees Fahrenheit. And yeah, that's about it. 2 days of rain now. So, okay. I don't have any, yeah, nothing much going on. Bye bye.
Thank you for your report, Stan. Anybody else from District Y5A and B? I'll move on to the Koyukuk River District, the communities of Huslia, Hughes, Alkakit, Alatna, and Bettles. Who would like to give a report? And then I'll move on to District Y4A, the communities of Anvik, Grayling, Kaltag, Nulato, or Koyukuk would like to give a report. And I'd like to remind everyone to please press star 6 to mute and unmute your line. Okay, I'll move on to District Y4 A and C, communities of Galena and Ruby. Would like to give a report? And I'll move on to District Y3, communities of Russian Mission, Holy Cross, or Shaglik. Would like to give a report?
Hey, this is Ken Chase in Anvik. Can you hear me?
Good afternoon.
Hey, we'll start with Ken. Yeah, go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, I'm. I just got on here, and I've been pretty much absent most of this summer on the Anvik area here. But I talked to some people in the last couple of days, 3-4 days in Grayling and Anvik. I didn't talk to anybody in Shaglik or Holy Cross, but the Anvik Grayling area was picking up some pretty good chums, I understand. I don't know what the amount was, but signs of them. And Shaglik, we don't have anybody over there from the Four Rivers reporting. However, I'd like to say I work with the Inoko Wildlife Refuge, and I work with four refuges. This one mainly consists of Anvik, Holy Cross, Grayling, Shaglik, and sometimes Kaltag. But the Inoko River is a kind of an unknown river because of past history. And I've been trying to get the Fish and Game to do some more research or more data on Shaglik area, because Shaglik is the only one now on the Inoko River. And we don't have, used to be Shaglik and Grayling used to be, Holgachuk used to come out to the Yukon to fish for summer chum and kings years ago, but now they don't come out anymore, and we don't have any data being taken up there, and we'd like to know. I think just for future use and reference, again, I work with an local refuge, and we would like to see more the federal use or the federal subsistence thing up on the Anoka logged and stuff. So I just wanted to let the committee know that we have someone working on that, and I try to help out there. And excuse me, for my voice is kind of raspy today. I'm not speaking too loud. And I kind of like the reports on the fall chum. That's been a blessing so far this year. And I'd also like to, when I missed out on the Anwick River drainage count on summer chum and the king salmon run, I'd like to hear that at some point from somebody. And saying that, I thank you for this time and hope things get even better than they are. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken.
Good afternoon, David and Holy Cross.
Hey, David.
Say, I got one, what goes on in Holy Cross, there is in Holy Cross. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, nobody is fishing down here, although the weather changed to, we used to call it silver salmon weather, but nobody's fishing any fall chum or anything, not even a whitefish net in water, as far as I know. It was good to see the department open the Anoka up. I think it's from Railroad City all the way up to Shaglik. Yeah, I was thinking about setting a net over there for dogs anyway. Yeah, it's pretty quiet here. People are hanging on to what jobs they have, and water's dropping. So not much going on. I did see some pinks thinning. I think they're thinning out now, though. I was going to catch a few for the dogs, but I don't know. That's another thing I wish the department would do, is just open up for dipping pinks, you know, in the off-season. When it's closed for silver salmon, I used to use just a little landing net in like 3 feet of water. That's all you need for pink salmon. So, yeah, thank you. Yeah, everybody's doing fairly well here, though. Seem like.
Thank you, David.
Hey, Mike. This is Matt with the Department of Fishing Game. Can I respond to David quick?
Yes. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, David. Oh, thanks. Yeah. Hey, David. Just wanted to let you know we don't really make a we don't emphasize as much during this part of the fall season there, but you can use that dip net to dip for any pink or sockeye salmon that are around right now in the main stem. We don't have conservation concerns on those. And so when we talk about it, we typically talk about non-salmon fishing, but pinks and sockeye are also available to be caught right now. It's just the chums and coho that will need to be put back in the main stem. So I hope that answers your question there.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Matthew, for that. If there's nobody else from District Y3, I'll move on to District Y2, communities of Mountain Village, Pitkus Point, St. Mary's, Pyle Station, and Marshall. Who would like to give a report?
Hello. Mike?
Oh, was that Bonnie?
Oh, no, sorry, Mike. I just before you moved on to the next district, Fred West is also online and can answer that question about the summer term numbers up the ANVIC if you wanted to take that.
Yes, for Ken. For Ken's question there.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, this is Fred with Fish and Game. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Fred, I can hear you. This is Ken.
Yes.
Oh, hi. Yeah. So the final number for ANVIC, or I guess, well, final for now until they do late season checks, but for now it was 259,194 summer chum.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yep.
How about the king count? Do they still do the disease on fish counts on kings?
So they don't officially count kings, but we do have an aerial survey on that system, but we don't have final results of the survey yet. But I can't give you that number yet. But okay. So they officially count chum and pinks, but they don't officially get a count with the sonar for kings.
Okay, thank you for that. How about the pinks? What was the count on them? Were they up higher or lower this year?
I'd have to look that up. I think they were, I couldn't speculate. I can't remember what the number was, but I think they're down in comparison to other years, but other even years. But I don't have the number in front of me offhand, unless Dean or somebody else does, but
yeah,
I can look it
up. Fred, can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Yeah, this is Dean and John with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Yeah, so the season total estimate of pinks up the ANVIC was 54,779, and unfortunately, I don't know how that compares to other average years, but it definitely counted a few, but I think they've probably counted more in the past.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie and Fred. Is there nobody else from District Y3? I'll move to District Y2, communities of Mountain Village, Pitkus Point, St. Mary's, Pyle Station, and Marshall. Who'd like to give a report?
Hello.
Hello, Sven.
Yeah, hey, Sven, St. Mary's. I think everybody's pretty much done putting away their summer chum catches from July. I haven't seen any nets out, at least on a Yukon, 4-inch nets that people are supposedly fishing now. Weather's been kind of bad last couple of days here, this past week or so. It's off and on rain. A lot of folks are transitioning into berry picking, but with the weather it is, a lot of folks haven't been able to go out. A lot of folks are just waiting for a fishing game to open up the fall chums for folks down here. That's all I got.
Sven. Anybody else from District Y2 would like to give a report?
Hi, this is Nita from Morton Village.
Hello, Nita.
Hi. Nobody's fishing out here. There's probably berry picking for now. That's about it.
Thank you, Nita. Anybody else from District Y2 would like to give a report? None, I'll move to
Hello,
District Y1.
Hello, this is Fred Bean, Mountain Village.
Fred. Hello, Fred.
Yeah, nothing to report here, but, this might be a point of order stuff here. But anyway, I call Fish and Game see if we could do some fishing for recent deaths here in Mountain Ridge, but they didn't said we can't. We got to wait for Saturday. So is that in the regulation not to fish, for deaths in a village here or anywhere? You know, maybe that's a question for Fish and Game guys.
Yeah, I can speak to that.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Ben with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. So what we have to do with all of our fish management, right, is first of all kind of meet those escapement goals. And so for the fall season, we have the drainage-wide escapement goal, which we're doing pretty well on right now. Like, we're above it. But then we also have to meet the tributary goals, and those are in the Teedrinjik and the Tanana River on the Alaska side. And then we have those international treaty goals with Canada on the Porcupine and across the main stem past Eagle. And on the U.S. side, stocks, look like they're doing pretty good this year, but we're still lagging way behind on those Canadian, international treaty objectives.
Okay.
And
all right. Yes, I understand. Thank you very much. And, it's kind of pretty hard to feed some grieving families that come in from other villages. So, okay, well, I thought I'd ask, and maybe perhaps they, yeah, okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks for answering that. Anybody else from District Y2? I'll switch over to District Y1, the communities of Nanamiko, Alavanuk, Imak, or Kalik. Who would like to give a report? Hearing none, I'll switch off to the coastal communities of Chivac, Hoover Bay, Scammon Bay. Would like to give a report. Hearing none, I will switch over to the open discussion. And I'd like to remind everyone to please press star 6. To mute and unmute your line.
Yeah, hey, Mike. This is Matt with Fish and Game. There was the caller. I apologize. I didn't get the name there. I think I might have missed part of the question there. Were you asking about a funerary permit request? I think I missed part of the question that came off mute.
Yes, that was my. I should have put it that way. But yes, I am requesting a. Permit to get some salmon. We don't need that much, probably 6 salmon just to feed the family that came here to Montville to grieve.
Yeah. So those permits you can absolutely apply for, and we are, giving out permits for those sorts of requests. So I apologize. I thought you were talking about just regular fish in there, but I guess I think I missed the funerary part when I was coming off the mute there. Yeah, if you give us a call down here at the Ammonic office or shoot an email over to me, we can get working on a permit for you after that. So apologize for the mix-up there.
Okay, yeah, I did call earlier, and they gave me the same thing you gave me. So, okay, I'll call you back again. Thank you.
Okay, yep. Yeah, no problem.
It's going to still be an open discussion. Anybody who would like to speak, please speak now.
Yeah, Victor here up at Tanana River.
Hello, Victor.
Hey, I'd just like glad to see that guy's resolved there. I thought there was a little miscommunication on the funeral up there. He had some responsibility to do it up there in Tanana. When we knew somebody, he immediately started gathering. Welcome to the village who arrived, his friends, he left the field.
Hey, Victor. I'm sorry to interrupt, but you're really hard to hear. We can hear you faintly, but not super well.
Victor, yes. Sort of hear you, so I heard some of it. Thank you, Victor. Anybody else that would like to bring up anything in the open discussion?
Yeah, this is Ben here again. I had a question. Or Adam O'Dell, or someone in Canada, or DFO. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, I'm kind of going over the latest FishCon reports, and I noticed that I think Adam had mentioned that there's some counts missing from several of the sonar counts up there. I'm just wondering if there's a reason why some of those numbers aren't listed on the latest reports.
Yeah, hey, it's Adam here. Thanks for the question. I'll have to follow up on them, but it is a typical occurrence just for some of the projects to fall a little bit behind on their reporting throughout the season. So I don't think that there's any technical issues happening there. It could be just that there's capacity and personnel that they're not able to provide the updates that are required or do the QA/QC of the data prior to issuing it. So, I mean, I intend to follow up on them, but there shouldn't be any concern around the delay in, or maybe the, yeah, a bit of the delay in the updates with those, but they should be coming in soon, I hope, but they definitely will be for postseason.
All right. So eventually those numbers, the dates that are missing, they'll be including the whatever they're updated?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great. Another question I had is, I know for Lower Yukon, the Alaska section, I've got a map of the different districts, 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way up to 6, that shows the district lines and the communities and some of the, tributaries of the Yukon. Is there something that DFO has or Canada has that shows the Canadian side so that I can look at a Canadian map and see where all these projects are compared to, you know, what the numbers I'm seeing from Fish and Game reports? Is there some way to access that map with the project areas?
So we do produce maps typically for some of the preseason or postseason meetings, like the Yukon River panel, for example. But I don't know that there's necessarily a publicly available or published map that someone could reference. I mean, however, if you are on our weekly distribution, I'm not sure if you received that, but we could absolutely include a map on that. Otherwise, maybe there's some other way to get it out there, but just in season, we don't really have a means to have like a publicly accessible one that anyone could just tune in to access. Yeah, we'll have to look into it a bit more, though. And if you want to be on our weekly distribution list, I'm not sure if you are, but we could probably put you on it. And then that's a good idea to include something like that, though, for a bit of outreach, too, for folks who aren't as familiar with the geography and the locations of all these projects.
Yeah, that'd be helpful. I don't have one. I haven't seen one. I'm familiar with the Alaska side because I have this map on my desk that shows 1, 2, 3, then the Upper Yukon area, 4, 5, 6, and I'm sure it's your fishing game knows what I'm talking about, but I haven't seen anything from Canadian side. It'd be helpful.
Okay, and if you want
to... The JTC report has a map?
I don't know that it would have the complete map of all the assessment sites.
Maybe not all. It has a lot of them on figure 2 if he has his JTC report.
Yeah, how do we get on that mailing list, Adam?
I think the best way would be to contact myself or Jacqueline. Jacqueline, ideally.
Yep, either or works to connect with in terms of getting on the distribution list.
Okay, thank you. That's all I had. Thanks.
Is there anybody else who would like to bring up anything during the open discussion?
Can you hear me? It says Ken Chase and Anvik again.
Hey, Ken, I can hear you.
Yeah, I got one question here I can't answer. I had some questions on from people. Was the Canadian Treaty, you know, we know some of the stuff in that's in there, but the nuts and bolts of the whole thing we don't know. And I guess some of the things were how long is the Canadian-U.S. Treaty stay in effect? What's the sunset on that, or is there one, or is that because of the counts that they'll keep it on until the counts come up, or what's the answer there?
Yeah, Ken, this is Matt with Fishing Game. I can kind of speak to that a bit. Can you just double check to make sure I'm off mute there? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Matt.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah, so the Canadian Treaty is in effect, you know, indefinitely into the future. So, like, it's not a new thing. That was signed a long time ago, and it always, you know, kind of helps guide our management so that we can manage the fish, you know, both on the Alaska and the Canadian side, and allow for, you know, certain amount of harvest on both sides of the border so that we can hopefully share equitably on that front. So the Canadian main stem goal is the IMEG intermanagement statement goal is 70,000 to 104,000 fall chum. And in recent years, that portion of the fall chum stock has been very, very weak, or much weaker than what it had been historically. You know, it used to be in the neighborhood of about 25% of all the fall chum that went up the Yukon went across the border there past Eagle. And in recent years, it's been closer to 10 or 11%. And because we're not meeting those Canadian treaty objectives, and it's not looking like so far, at least, that we're going to make it there this year, even with a much better run, we still got to endeavor to meet those Canadian treaty objectives. And that is what is, you know, kind of the between the rock and hard place here on the Alaska side, you know, the border there, where historically, according to the original management plan, you know, 300,000 to 600,000 fish used to be enough, you know, to be able to both meet escapements everywhere on the U.S. side of the border and meet those Canadian treaty objectives across the border and allow for at least some subsistence harvest there under 600,000 and above that, you know, obviously sport and, you know, commercial as well. But in recent years, it hasn't been enough. And that's kind of the situation we're in right now.
Okay, thank you. I guess one other little question that comes out of that, and I heard someone in the department earlier talk about the main stem versus the drainage on escapement. And Anvik River, for instance, since I've lived here and know, used to have a, you know, huge amount of summer chum come up, and we had a cap on the time that we were having commercial fishing for our terminal fishery here. And but that at that time the cap was lowered down to 300,000, and it's still at that same point, which is awful high for the number of fish are getting on the main stem. But I'm just wondering if the department has any thoughts, you know, of working a little more closer with each village or each district on the take of salmon that are in a terminal spawning thing, you know, that they don't come back out once they go in the river. but they're counted down there at the pilot station sonar. So that's just a thought. I guess I've been thinking about how it can better serve some of the uses in future runs when we have a nip and tuck on the count. And I thank you for that.
Yeah, thanks, Ken. Yeah, no, we're always looking for opportunities there to work with, you know, work with our folks on the river there for sure. So if we can, you know, work together to, you know, come up with a, you know, a way that we can, you know, sustainably harvest fish without impacting the ones that we need to protect, then, you know, we're all for those ideas.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Anybody else would like to discuss anything for the open discussion? Bring up anything?
Yeah, good afternoon. This is David Walker again, Holy Cross.
Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I was thinking about that about 5-6 years ago before COVID. Somebody came up with, you know, we have two governments, but one river from the headwaters all the way to the mouth and out in the Bering Sea, so kind of out of our control. But it's good to understand that, you know, we should be all one in the rivers and work together. I know I served on the Yukon River panel for a couple of years there. And, you know, with the declining numbers and the projects that was on the table was, you know, they were not, still not effective, but yeah, I think, like Virgil keeps saying, you know, ARM, you know, we got to keep on them guys and the trawlers, of course. I don't think there's any on both sides of the border or along the Yukon. I don't think there's been big violators and affecting the conservation of fish. So I think I called Matt Mike earlier, I'm sorry. But anyway, that's what I think the people along the river on both sides of the border need to keep on that. It has merit to stay together and manage together. So, thank you.
Thank you, David. Anybody else who'd want to bring up anything during the open discussion? Yeah. Hey, Victor, can you speak? Can you speak louder, Victor? Sorry.
Small fish.
There you go.
Hi, Victor. This is Matt with Fish and Game. I couldn't understand your question there. You're very quiet.
I was asking about the fall chum run.
On the Yukon, where at?
think his question was where the fall chum are at.
Yes.
Body yeah, one answer.
I can find it here for you. 1 second.
He's asking about the timing, where the fish are at. So today is 18th. The first pulse should be up near Beaver, Stevens Village, and some of those early might be trickling into the Tanana, but usually the Tanana stocks are much later. The second great big pulse is somewhere around Galena. That's the only pulses we have so far.
Thank you for answering that. Anybody else who'd like to bring up anything for the open discussion? Hearing none, I'd like to remind everybody that next week is the last Yukon River in-season salmon management teleconference on August 25th at 1 p.m., 2 p.m. Yukon time. Please come back in and listen to the conclusion of our teleconferences. I'd like to thank everyone who participated and hopefully hear from you next week.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Good day.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.